great being with you again, Dan. And just so you know that you're cutting out on my end, so I don't know if there's anything going on, if it's coming through to the listening audience, but just so that you know that you are cutting in and out.
Oh, no. Let me ask my my guy here if I'm cutting out.
I'm hearing it on my end. I don't know that
okay.
It's coming across on there. But anyway, it's good to be with you, Dan. It's been a little while, so...
Yes, it happens.
Trust the Lord to direct our time.
Amen. Let me just say a brief prayer because of the material and related issues. Father, we just thank you in the name of Jesus, Lord, for blessing this conversation. Lord, for Lord covering, Lord, the ears and eyes and hearts of every person listening with the blood of Jesus. Father, I thank you that the information that goes forth is going to only bless. And Father, that clarity is going to go forth, Lord, that you're going to simply communicate the things you want to through this conversation and protect every listener in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. So anyway, we are going to jump right in. And, you know, I want to have you on because, you know, a long time ago, it wasn't that long ago, but it was a few months ago, I had you on, some of those that you have counseled, and we talked about the conception experience and how these women have actually been raped and given birth to present-day hybrids, which in and of itself is a huge shocker for most people. But, you know, there's a lot of questions that go along with this, and, I mean, we've had several conversations where I've rattled off question after question to you that I've had when it comes to some of these issues, and so I felt like having you on the program just to answer some of these questions that I think most people would have if they really think about it would be very beneficial to those that are listening. And so, you know, thanks so much for giving us your time. And,
you're welcome.
You know, and before we get started, I just want to refer all listeners. I don't want to cover previous ground because we've got plenty to cover here. If you want context for what we're talking about, you can go to either Doug Riggs' website or you can go to the archives for this program. And now if you go there, you can look up the program that we did initially, and you'll find all the interview and all the explanation, background information on how we are seeing what is described as the Genesis 6 experiment being replicated today. And so, you know, I'm just going to refer you there, and we're going to pick up now with the questions of these hybrids. You know, the first question I think most people have, and I had myself, is this: what is done in order to prepare? What was done in order to prepare the first women that were involved in this kind of thing to become vessels for impregnation by a fallen angel?
Yeah, that's a good question, because if you go back to Genesis 6:2, those women were said they were the daughters of man, that is, the daughters of Adam, and the watchers of the Bnei HaElohim selected those for marriage, you know, to whomever they chose, you know. So it was this basically open season on those women that were available. And so the offspring were, of course, not like humans today. They were giants, and they were obviously had enhanced abilities, as we see with Goliath. There was strength and power. And, of course, history, of course, records that throughout various civilizations. Today, the process is the same, only everyone, and I just verified this recently, is that the difference today is that Satan is the father, and this is what they've all universally said through the years. I haven't interviewed them. It's just come at random through the years, and since we first started hearing these accounts back in the 80s, that Satan is the father. And what that says is that if we go back to Genesis 3:15, when we see the proto-evangel there, that the seed of the woman, there would be hostility, enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. If we go to Genesis 6, you can't say that the watchers, the 200 watchers that descended on Mount Hermon, were that they were Satan. They were of course fallen angels, and they were involved in that union.
Absolutely, and they were different. Yes.
Well, they're not Satan. So the offspring of the Watchers, the fallen angels, Genesis 6, are not the seed of the serpent. They certainly would be genetically, if we could use that term, to a spirit being who takes on physicality. But you can't technically say that all the Nephilim born in that particular period of time from the days of Jared till the flood, about a 600-year span, that that's the seed of Satan. They were the seed of the Watchers. But in the Genesis 3:15, it says that the seed of there would be a seed of the woman, which we know is Jesus Christ, Galatians 3:16, and then there would be the seed of the serpent. So that means that Satan himself would have a seed, and that seed would be the quintessential man that we know as Antichrist and the false prophet, and then all replications of that represent a resource, a DNA resource pool that will, of course, include the image of the beast, the mark of the beast, and the creation of Homo sapien 2.0, Homo universalis, Homo noeticus, you know, the new man that is Satan's counterfeit for the new man that comes into being at new birth that will eventually manifest the glory of Jesus Christ. So in our generation, what the adversary has done is that he has personally selected, because of generational bloodline women, the accumulation of iniquity. They are selected prior to conception, and they are, of course, the rituals that go down preconception, the rituals that go down at conception. So right at the conception of these women that are selected to be breeders, there is a spiritually enhanced phenomenon that formats them, if you will, to become conditioned to eventually conceive by Satan a quintessential hybrid of our generation that would be the replacement. It's the ultimate transgenics or transhumanism singularity, and the omega point, as Deschardin has mentioned. So these offspring are different in that they are the result of the union of Satan with Christian women. And so what happens at conception? Well, these women are conditioned to generational sin and, of course, being bonded right at birth to hybrids that were already in existence since the first one we know was born at least by 1962. That is first generation from Satan. They are conditioned to bond. So through this bonding from infancy, there is a conditioning so that they are prepared through rituals, not only preconception, conception, but from birth up to the point when they're born again. And when at new birth, what happens? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, we've been called to a living hope through and born again through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Born again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, when we think about that statement, that doctrinal revelation in 1 Peter 1, 3, that the new birth is a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, every new birth is a manifestation of and an impartation of the resurrection life of Christ. In fact, mm-hmm. Christian life is the resurrection life of Christ through the Holy
Amen.
Spirit.
That's
so
right.
Right there at that new birth, there are rituals set up and designed to lead that little person to Christ. So right away, when that resurrection life comes in, there is the release of resurrection power that is defined by the film called, it's called Fabric of Time, which is the documentary on the Shroud of Turin, that
sure.
When Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, that sheet that was on the top and on the bottom, there was a levitation, and so that sheet was taut on the top and the bottom, and when he was raised from the dead, there was the release of an energy that produced an image on the top and bottom of that sheet that scientists are still studying today. It's called a quantum hologram. And in that hologram, there are layers of encoded information that, according to Israel Pitzek, was an event horizon that is the beginning of a new creation. So what the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the beginning of a new creation. The church age believer, we are become a part of that new creation. When it's fully extended in history, the new heavens and the new earth that come out of heaven, out from God, will be the full manifestation of that event horizon. So the adversary is right there to capture the imprint, the information encoded in that holographic, quantum hologram, so that the energy that's released, there is an image, and he is able to, because of his intelligence, he captures that image, and he mingles it with who he is and his being, and creates what has been told a triple helix, so that when that woman at age 13 conceives by Satan, it is his seed, and he is able to create an enhanced being that is quintessential man. In other words, he is designed to replace mankind as we know it, and that's the whole singularity transhumanist movement that's ultimately leading to that. And, you know, through all the kind of technology and what they call it, I forget the DNA. There's a recombinant DNA. All those techniques are now being used. But the quintessential, that is the union between Satan and Christian women, produce a particular kind of hybrid that is the greatest deception of all, because out from that particular process, that conception process, results in the seed of the serpent. But it's a collective thing, because there are many that represent this seed, and collectively that will embody itself, be represented in Antichrist. And this has been happening since at least 1963, although the projects actually began to become more concentrated with the birth of the nation Israel. The actual first generation hybrid that's been reported in the people I've worked with was in 1963. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a long description of things, but if people have not seen Fabric of Time, which is on the Shroud of Turin, you can see the description of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, anyway, that explains, I believe, what Satan is able to capture. If the scientists are able to capture information that has never been captured before, I mean, there's no other object in history like this. If they're able to take from this shroud information that has never been discovered before in the history of the world, what could Satan do as a supernatural being?
And you know, I watched that video, the one that you sent me that you're talking about right now. And yes, they're talking in there about how there is it's beyond a three-dimensional imprint that has been flashed or whatever have you into the very fabric of that cloth. And yes, they are studying it. So it's just kind of to sum it up, I guess, in a more just few words. The women initially that you have counseled began to be prepared via rituals, and once they were via rituals and also bonding with formerly existing hybrids, when the conception event actually occurred, it allowed Satan to conceive a seed in that woman, which captured the very essence of Christ in them, which is why they led them to Christ at that early age. They wanted to capture that new man image to then be born into this counterfeit.
Yes.
Is that okay?
So, in other words, the image of the beast is going. In other words, Satan is he's a creature. He's not God. He cannot create anything. He can only steal. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So, if a piece of fabric can a two dimensional fabric can record an energy release in term of a quantum hologram and produce a three dimensional image on a two dimensional object that is just a piece of fabric, what would it mean if Satan was there present to capture the image? You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, but the difference between a piece of fabric and Satan is vast. So his ability so he doesn't create anything. He is actually stealing by siphoning off, leeching off some of that life essence that comes in at new birth. even though the person is still joined with Christ, there's a leaching off through trauma and through horrific power that's released through ritual, convergence, synchronized rituals, so that at that person's conception, their birth, and then all the training and trauma, so at age 13, when there's the actual union with Satan, this is what's reported, then they're formatted. There is that an overlay of that which would represent a triple helix, is what they report, is on a spiritual level, so that the offspring is the union of Satan and the DNA of the woman, producing a quintessential hybrid, which includes the Antichrist and the false prophet.
Very good. So then, for those of you that are listening, this takes a while to wrap your mind around. There's no doubt about it. But that's why we're saying it. We're here. We're saying it. You know, thanks to God. If you don't understand, I think I had to personally listen to explain this at least two or three times before I finally began to comprehend some of the stuff, how it worked. But you know, this is not what he made up. For those of you that are listening, what he's telling us is what has been uncovered as he has helped to counsel and minister deliverance to the women that experienced this. This is the information that he was given. This is not something that he has made up. And moreover, it's been validated by, as he's explaining it to us, he's explaining it to us in light of the Word of God. So, next question. You kind of already answered it, but I'm going to ask it anyway. By what means has a move been made away from giants and into what are being described as supermen, which is what these new hybrids look like?
Yes, well, my understanding is that, of course, the women in Genesis 6 were not Christians. They were the daughters of Adam, Genesis 6:2. Man, the word man there is Adam. So the offspring were anomalies. They weren't that which were a perfected representation of mankind. So in the evolution of this process, of course, there was the offspring there in the days of Noah, and then also afterward, more confined and restricted the land of Canaan. So there was more eruptions of the watchers, fallen angels, that came down to produce that confined representation there in Canaan. And then if you study throughout history, and the Book of Giants, Steve Quayle, and you take Jim Vieira's work and Fritz Zimmerman, even throughout America's and throughout history, the Incas and the Aztecs, we have the records of giants all throughout history. But they, God judges them; they're wiped out. But we see the artifacts of these, even the bones, and throughout all culture, throughout history. So these are the offspring of women, but they're not anything like today. They're more what perhaps the people would refer to today as the alien greys or the reptilian. They're kind of like mutations. They are the offspring of that with women, I believe personally, that are not Christian. But with this last generation, God has allowed in this final generation for this to happen to Christians, so that when Satan produces his quintessential man, I was told, just interviewing one of the ladies here, that you cannot tell. If you look at them, you cannot tell. They are spiritually cloaked, but they look like, one woman is referred to as the champions, the beautiful people. They're very handsome, very, just a perfect specimen of a human being, but they are very enhanced in terms of occult powers. Whereas, for example, a person could be born with generational occult powers and they can be enhanced through going into dabbling, that is a human being. But sure, these entities have a maximized and a very high level of supernatural occult powers, where they can, go in and out of dimensions and et cetera. This is what I'm told. And so, the whole goal is to create a species that will be offered to mankind in the coming disclosure event, where the so-called ETs are coming to, they once seeded our race, panspermia, and they helped us evolve from the chimpanzee or the gorilla to where we are now. They're going to come again at this critical juncture of history to help us go from where we are now in our defective state, from Homo sapien to the advanced species, you will not die, you shall be like gods, Genesis 3, and they will come and help mankind to evolve, but they'll have to receive an injection, which I believe will be the DNA that comes directly from first-generation offspring with the union with fallen angels and women. That DNA, if it's taken as an injection, they will be enhanced, but they will be damned. If you read in the book of Revelation, whoever takes the mark of the beast, they'll all be damned. Why? Because they will cease to be human and no longer redeemable. And
yeah.
So the whole point is that you know the enemy is trying to counterfeit the one new man that is created in Christ.
Yes.
And the new creation, and this is his way to try to preempt prior to the revelation of the sons of God, Romans 8, when we as Christians have our glorified body, we will be above angels. We are greater than angels. 1 Corinthians 6,
yes.
2 and 3 says, know you not that you, the
that
saints,
will
judge the world, you will judge angels. That means we're above.
That's right.
And so this is his preemptive attempt to try to capture mankind through deception and set them up for the coming disclosure and the great deception that we see mentioned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Very good. Scott, just so you know, is in our chat room right now. He says hi.
Oh, hi, Scott. Great. Yeah,
I
picked up a little bit on the end. I heard his voice. I heard him a little bit there, so that's great. Great that you had him on.
Yeah, and the other thing, there's a question came up in the chat room, which I'll let you address quickly, and then because I have a list of other questions that I really want to get to. Is Satan's throne organic, or would you call it a trans-dimension thing?
Yeah, this is a very, very good question. Satan's throne is in Jerusalem, okay? We know that from Isaiah 25, 7 and 8. It's the veil that goes over the nations. All the women refer to the Nephilim mothers, or they've been called. The women been selected for breeders have been born in Jerusalem. So his actual physical throne is there. We know in, what is it, Revelation chapter 2, was it verse 13? During the time of John, Satan's throne was at Pergamum. For reasons
yeah.
we can't go into tonight. Well, throughout history, it's moved about. In World War II, it was in Berlin, most likely, in the center of the Germany. Well, then after World War II, because of the birth of the nation Israel, de facto, he moved to Jerusalem. So his throne is there. But what through the conditioning of these women to become
mm-hmm.
breeders, they become
mm-hmm.
so bonded to Satan that they are created, their entire internal DID structure is created to be a representation of Satan's throne. So
sure.
Satan can be in Jerusalem, but he can extend himself spiritually because he's actually bonded to these women. The hybrids who fly on actual UFOs that are actually physical, I'm not talking about demonic apparitions, which are a part of the UFO phenomenon, that's there too, but that doesn't explain it all. They're actually physical craft. There's many documentaries on the physicality of these craft. These craft are symbiotically interfaced with the hybrids who are actual extensions with Satan and his throne. So these women, likewise, they become an extension and a manifestation of Satan and his throne. And it's like this. If they're, you know, Satan can't create a counterfeit body of Christ because those that are dead in trespasses and sin are not united with Christ. But when we are born again as Christians, we are members of one another, members of Christ. That's Ephesians 4, Ephesians 5, Romans chapter 12, verse 3 and following. So as members of Christ, he captures these Christians right at new birth, so that he can interface with this spiritual reality and then employ to a very deep and profound way through bonding, he can employ the body of Christ to be an extension of himself. Now, as bizarre as that sounds, it's very real and it's very powerful.
And I was going to add to that. I mean, because what you're saying, I mean, it makes perfect sense to me because I'm tracking right with you. You know, for those of you that are listening, think about it like this. God extends himself into all Christians through his spirit. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him, 1 Corinthians 6:17. largely what Doug, I believe, is referring to here is a counterfeit of that. It's just a counterfeit. Satan's trying to cheat a system. He's trying to interface spiritually. And like you know, you said, he can't build for himself a body, but he can kind of cheat the system a little bit. And so would you agree? Or?
Yeah, he interfaces through the conception, preconception, through trauma bonding, and then right at birth, where a little baby normally bonds to a mother, they bond to a hybrid, and then to Satan extending himself through the hybrids, there's an interfacing with the child. They're conditioned. That prepares them for conception. But it also, the mothers themselves become extensions. They themselves and their whole DID system and its fragmentation becomes a weapons platform to carry out many occult assignments, to project spiritual power, to release spiritual power, to corrupt the body of Christ. But also those women that are very highly placed, they actually represent thrones. They themselves represent an extension of Satan, because they are actually united with him through ritual and by proxy through the hybrids.
Yeah. Amen. Okay, so next question that I have on the agenda for you. We're running out of time quickly, Doug. How long do these hybrids live after being born? What's the report?
Reports I've had that, like, the first one that was been reportedly born was about 1963, and that first generation hybrid that was born, they named him Nimrod.
Mm-hmm.
As they've been born, and more mothers have produced these, the hybrids that are born, they have what's called rites of passage, just like witches have contests unto death to see who's has the strongest abilities. What I've been reported that they're a combat, and those the strongest ones are used as for breeding secondary, for producing other offspring as secondary offspring, and some of them are sacrificed, so that I don't have any reference to anyone pointing out that they live a long time, because they're being used up. There's contest so that the present hybrid is the best evolved through the breeding process since the first one was born. So it's a constant culling out and advancing and refinement. So if they're not sacrificed or killed in combat, those that are now surviving, they're the survival, in terms of the survival of the fittest, they are the fittest and they are the best.
Mm. Makes sense.
That's what's reported.
Makes sense. Because I am familiar with the idea that witches do combat, you know. I don't know how you feel about the author or whatever, but I know that when I read Rebecca Brown's book, He Came to Set the Captives Free, that opened my eyes to a lot of things for the first time. For me, that was just brand new information. And, you know, the lady that she had helped in that book talked about the contests between witches. And so that was my first experience to that. And then I just continually heard the same thing. Now, my next question. There has been a move, right, that you have actually witnessed in women, you have counseled personally, from bloodline to non-bloodline individuals. And I know that this is going to take a little while to explain, but we have at most a half hour. Take time.
Well, this was new to me when the young person came to us from Canada, and I won't mention her last name because of their family, but that she was selected because there had been enough confluence of generational sin and iniquity from the various bloodlines, the top 13, on both the Gentile and the Jewish side. These bloodlines were then were transferred to a non-royal bloodline, so that, as we have in Genesis 6:2, that the adversary would have access to the entire human race, not just royal bloodlines, but to whomever he chose. So the report is, with this introduction of this new bloodline, which was the confluence of the previous iniquity and sin that creates the base in previous generations. This new bloodline gave Satan access to the women, to whoever he chose, and that particular event where it shifted from just bloodlines to a non-bloodline was in 2002, which means that officially, if that's accurate, that would be the actual beginning of the days of Noah in terms of the non-bloodline. Because before that, it was bloodline. Remember, in Genesis 6, too, that's not bloodline. So as of 2002, the report is Satan has access to any woman that is SRADID now, and they don't have to be bloodline. So that means his resource pool is very vast. And so it's narrowed down, concentrated, released, and now we have, and you know, this in this new bloodline creates the genetic or the gene pool, the genome for the Antichrist, and it embodies the entire human race. So this first representation is reportedly that which represents Antichrist. Whether he'll be the final one, we don't know, but the Antichrist will, of course, embody not just royal bloodlines, but it will embody that which represents the entire human race.
I'm curious, if you can you kind of go into the process of how you guys discovered this information, like and coming to terms with what it meant, and how to even put it into words.
Yes. Well, we never went looking for this. Now, as far as the biblical framework, I already knew that the Genesis 6, the B'nai HaElohim there, were not the lines of Seth. I knew that that's eisegesis. That is definitely not exegesis. That
sure.
All the church fathers, the Josephus and the early rabbinical teaching up until the 3rd century, until Augustine, they all believed in the angel, the supernatural interpretation of Genesis 6. I'd read Earth's Earliest Ages 30 years ago. And so I already had the framework. I knew from biblical exegesis, the Hebrew language. So I was already understanding the Genesis 6. So when I began working with survivors of generational satanic ritual abuse, women from members of the royal family, and we're just dealing with the trauma that has to do with trauma-based mind control programming, which I have that, you know, posted on the website under SRADID, I just started working with them, dealing with them as a counselor, and in the process of their histories coming out, as we got deeper and deeper into into the layers of that which represents their internal DID system through the programming and the trauma. At the deepest level, we started hearing reports of them being used as breeders. It was very, very hidden, very concealed. And, of course, the denial was very strong. They said, this cannot be. I mean, they didn't want to have anything to do with it. They didn't come out and say, hey, I'm a Nephilim mother. Not one of them ever said they were a Nephilim mother. I mean, that was a name that was given by a talk show host, you know, that I used to interview with. But they began to talk about this, and it was very horrific. And I began to hear this over and over and over. And I didn't do anything with it because my goal was just to help these people recover, restore their fragmentation, come into wholeness. But the very reason for which they were became breeders is because their fathers sold them to the powers of darkness to become breeders, and in return, in exchange, they got tremendous wealth, knowledge that would put them in a very advanced position in terms of kings of the earth and power and influence. And since then, of course, these world leaders that received all this power, that has also shifted as of the 70s to the hybrids. Hybrids have just taken over. I mean, they deceived the very people that handed their daughters over. So, yeah, it's kind of a long story, but we never went looking for this. It just came as a part of the process of working with trauma survivors that have a history of satanic ritual abuse.
Sure. No, if you're listening and you've never heard this information before, it is going to take some time to process. It is going to take some time to meditate. A lot of the science, if you want to call it that, that goes behind what we're talking about. It's really spiritual things. Your mind has to really be renewed to the spirit realm and really, you know, in Christianity, to God and Jesus Christ, to fully comprehend some of these issues. But, you know, we're talking about it because it's relevant, and even knowing about it, just knowing that it exists, I believe is very helpful, especially because, you know, we know there's a great deception coming, and, you know, this kind of information is what's going to keep us in the midst of great deception going forward. Now, I wanted to get into this even a little deeper because, and you touched on this when you said that they battle and they have contests so that the best and strongest of these hybrids are always in existence. And can you describe, I don't know if they gave this to you in reports or not, but what kind, specifically, of occult / supernatural powers, in addition to being able to teleport and do different kinds of things like this, have been witnessed pertaining to the hybrids and their abilities?
Okay. I can tell you that women that are highly weaponized and highly fragmented and demonized, they can look at a person and kill them. Okay.
Wow.
Now, energy is released. They can, with their hands, through runing or through a look, through eyes, they've all witnessed the release of power that can explode a person's heart and kill them. This has all been reported throughout the years. Now, you take a human being that is highly enhanced and demonized and fragmented and actually transformed into a massive weapons platform, that's a human being. Now, if you take a hybrid and you just amplify that 100-fold, they have all the occult powers of the highest witch that has ever lived on planet Earth, and it's amplified many, many times, whether it's levitation or levitating objects or releasing massive amounts of power. This is what they have, and they're very intelligent. They're like they're the highest of the scientists. They're supernaturally intelligent, so that if a world leader was in their presence, they would bow down and worship them as a god. They are viewed as gods because the lie is that this is a more advanced evolutionary species of mankind, and they have come to help us evolve. They're the so-called ETs that come to help us to evolve to the next level. So naturally they display supernatural powers, and the Raelians refer to these aliens as Elohim, plural. We are your creators. And so,
hybrids.
The hybrids, the Raelians say that they don't call them hybrids, they call them aliens. They are ETs. They're not that. That's a deception. They're hybrids, and so they're worshipped as gods, and they want that worship because they are directly connected to Satan, who is seeking to worship. You know, he told Jesus that he says, if you bow down and worship me, after he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, he says, you bow down and worship me, and I'll give these to you because they are mine, and I can give them to whomever I chose. All the kingdoms of this world and their glory. So this species is that which is being told will replace the current mankind. Mankind is to be wiped out as a species, be eliminated. You know, the Georgia Guidestones is reduced it to 500 million, and it's going to be replaced by Homo sapien 2.0, Homo universalis, Homo noeticus, as the New Agers refer to. This is real. We are living in the time that Jesus prophesied, as it was in the days of Noah, so the return of the Son of Man. We are living that generation. And if Christians don't know that, they are asleep. They're a part of the problem. They're a part of the spiritual state and condition that represents the church in the West that will allow us to have a kind of president that we have and a kind of regime that is the most hostile and the most threatening to our freedoms in the whole history of our nation. So how did that get there? Well, the church is basically a subculture in the West, where you go where the church is suffering the most, In third world nations, it's a counterculture. That's where the church is growing more rapidly. But in America, we're enclosed. The church is retreating in terms of its effectiveness. We're not truly apostolic. And so this is all a part of the framework that we're in. If you read Doug Woodward's book, Power Quest, Volume 1 and 2, his book 2, on Chapter 9, he has a whole section on our work. But that America is one of the primary centers of power in terms of a cult power within its infrastructures, government structure, religious structure, preparing the way for Antichrist. He documents it. In fact, the whole eugenics program that the Nazis adapted, it came from America. That which financed the Nazi regime, much of that came out of the Wall Street in America. So there's so much that if Christians don't know where we are in history, then it's really tragic, because even though we don't know the day or the hour, if we don't know we're living the final generation, we are asleep, because this is the generation when Jesus Christ is going to return. And as it was in the days, and also the return of the Son of Man, with this the final eruption of fallen angels is now Satan himself is his last stand. This is it. God has set the parameters, and now Satan is going to do all that he can through cloning everything to create an army so vast that when Revelation 19:19 occurs and Jesus Christ returns, there's a vast army in Armageddon. And what does it say? To wage war against the Lamb and his armies. So yes. How did that army get there? Russ Dizdar has asked the question, what's the sequence of satanic evolution, to use his term, to get to that point? Well, that's satanic evolution, even though it's hidden, 2 Thessalonians 2:7, it's a mystery, it's been hidden. It is going on in vast military underground bases, it's called DUMS, deep underground military bases all over the world. This is clearly documented. I mean, I have a number of files on this. And it's below the horizon, it's below the radar, because spiritually there's been so many rituals that have been released to dumb down the church in the West, so we're totally blind to what's going on. I say rituals. Totally. I would say majority. I can't speak for everybody.
Okay, amen. And rituals being released for that very purpose.
Absolutely. Yeah, and not only that purpose, but, you know, through satanic ritual, through a sacrifice. If you look at the king of Moab in 2 Kings chapter 3, there's a war with Israel. And the king of Moab is pressed in, and him and 700 of his men try to escape. They can't. They have to go back to their palace there with their men. And he's pressed against the wall. Israel is closing in. What does he do? He offers his firstborn son as a sacrifice on the wall. And what happens? Great wrath is released against Israel, and they retreat. So what is that?
Yes.
That sacrifice released power that actually defeated the armies of Israel, probably demoralized them. They probably became demoralized and just incapacitated. And it says they retreated just through the release of satanic power through that ritual. What happens if there's a thousand sacrifices? I've reported, you know, if you go down to the Aztecs and Quetzalcoatl, I mean, some of them were 50,000 human sacrifices. I mean, how much power is released? All these people have talked about being at these ziggurats down there in South America with 50,000 human sacrifices. Well, history has already recorded that. But what kind of power is released? They are catapulted into the second heavens in ways that represent massive evil in the release of power. And you know what? This is not magnifying Satan, because if we hear this level of evil and this blows people's mind with this magnitude of evil, then you need to get a bigger God framework, because God is infinitely superior. He's infinitely superior to the creature.
Amen. And it's the thing, you know, we're carrying Jesus into this world, and if there is one power that can overcome their powers, it's Christ in us.
Absolutely.
As a matter of fact, I believe the Bible called it Christ in you, the hope of glory.
That's right.
You know,
absolutely.
excuse my voice. This has been highly fascinating, and I'm glad that you're getting fired up, because this is really I like the information that you're putting out there. You mentioned underground bases. Now, some of the women and of the men too that you worked with, that they have witnessed certain things in some of the underground bases firsthand. Now, and some of these have to do with hybrids. Some of them have to do with boning. Some of them have to do with genetic experiments. I don't know if you're comfortable with talking about some of the reports they've given you, but if you are, please share some of the stuff that we don't know.
Yeah, there's the, of course, the first generation direct union, sexual union between Satan and Christian women producing this quintessential man that would be after the order of Antichrist and false prophet. That's the top of the apex. That's the DNA source code that will produce the image of the beast, and of course will contain that which will be the human enhancement for the mark, comes through the mark of the beast. But the other experiments, the sub projects, they're just like it says in the books of Enoch. They're mixing plant and animal with human DNA and creating a whole plethora of bizarre creatures. They've all witnessed. They've seen them in test tubes and. I mean, by the thousands. And these deep underground bases are very, very large. I mean, they're huge. I mean, billions of dollars have been spent annually for decades to build these and what do you call levitation, electro-levitation type of trains that travel at very high speed and connect with all these different facilities on a global basis. They have these giant machines that are about. Nuclear powered, I think they're football field, maybe even bigger. They can drill a 40-foot diameter tunnel 7 miles a day, and they got many of these. I mean, I've got pictures of them. But the point is, these underground bases, they're all interconnected. And they're anywhere from a mile to 2 miles below the earth. I mean, they're 100 as of 1996, and I forgot the man's name who was assassinated for reporting this. There were about, at that time, 1996, there were 132 to 133 of these deep underground bases just in America alone. So they've all reported that there's vast things going on and reproducing various types of cloning. Cloning projects, different hybridization. You know, like we see the animal plants and creating super soldiers. I mean, DARPA's involved with that. People have not read Forbidden Gates by Tom Horn. He documents all that. That's what's known. You know, DARPA and Jason are involved. Also, if you have not read his book, Nephilim Stargates 2012, his new one, Exo Vaticanus, he's got his book will be released, I think, in March or April. He's posting on his website. He's constantly posting all this that is known, that is being published in terms of transhumanism, transgenics, on his book, Raiders News, I think, Network. So the information is there. But this is what's being published. And whatever's being published, what has been going on underground has been going on at least 30 years. In other words, the technology that's now known and being published, as I mentioned, Forbidden Gates, Tom Horn, this is all documented and published. That technology is at least 30 years old.
Sure.
It's far more advanced than what is publicly known at this time through research and through the military projects and DARPA and super soldier programs and that kind of thing.
So just turn back. So you're saying that all of the women that you've worked with have witnessed thousands of basically what you could call genetic experiments.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they all say that in the thousands. They're vast.
Wow.
Yeah, underground. Wow. I mean, and the end, remember this. This army that will, when Satan fell, one-third went with him. So if he's going to meet Jesus Christ on the battlefield of Armageddon, Revelation 19:19, he's going to meet Jesus Christ, all the saints, not all the saints, but we are returning with him on Revelation 19:7 and following. Plus two-thirds of the elect angels. Every elect angel is greater in power than a fallen one because they represent God. So he has one-third of the fallen angels with him. What is he going to do to try to upscale and try to fill in the deficiency gap? Well, he is working feverishly and doing everything he can numerically and using every kind of technology, enhanced technology, to create an army that when he and the armies of Antichrist meet Jesus Christ on the Battle of Armageddon in Revelation 19:19, he's going to have a maximized force within his mind to defeat the King of Kings. Why would he wage war with Jesus Christ and his army if he didn't think he could win? He must. He's a psychopathic megalomaniac. I mean, people don't understand that this is the ultimate criminal. That makes him that much more dangerous. So to think that he, say, well, he's a defeated foe and all that. Well, you try to convince him of that. You're not going to do well. I'm not afraid of it. I mean, anybody that is equipped and knows what it is to be joined with Jesus Christ and walking in the full armor of God, we're not afraid. I don't fear him. I'm not afraid of demonic manifestations. I'm not afraid of legions coming out of the people. I've seen that because I know my position in Christ. I know that we have been called in Luke 11 to tread upon scorpions and serpents and no harm shall befall you.
That's right.
We're to walk in that reality. And if we're not walking that reality, then we're living a sub-Christian life.
As a matter of fact, the Bible says of Jesus that he has the keys of hell and death. That he trample upon principalities and powers, triumphing over them and making an open show of them in it. He put all of that in us when he put himself in us. And that's the thing, we as Christians are responsible to mature into our inheritance in Christ. And that's,
absolutely,
I think, a big key, and I know that you talk about this too, in addition to all the other weirdness that you have to deal with in your calling, that idea that we have to mature into the things which God has prepared for us. And, why don't we end on that note, because we have about 3 minutes, 2 to 3 minutes left. Why don't you just talk about the importance of maturing in our Christian walk, and then we're going to have to close.
Yes. Well, I mean, God's end time army, God has an answer. And those that are, I believe, the overcoming remnant that are mentioned in Revelation 2 and 3, those that will be in a place, they've been prepared, maybe hidden from sight. As things get intensely more dark and there's going to be crisis after crisis, perhaps a outbreak of evil like Russ has talked about in his book, The Black Awakening, darkness that will come upon us as we come to the end. Well, those that know their God, we know from Daniel 11, will do exploits.
In other words,
when Satan comes in like a flood, God will lift up his banner, his standard, as we see in Isaiah 59. But that involves those who have grown. I mean, those who know their God. And my people perish for lack of knowledge in Hosea 4. So let us press on. Let us know the Lord, for his going forth is as sure as the early and the latter rain. And the final manifestation of God in a prepared remnant in the end will counter Satan's move to such a degree that Satan's counter will be to devour that remnant, and then God will be snatch us out of here. But there's going to be a tremendous darkness, but in that darkness a great light will shine. I think of Isaiah 9, 1 and 2, and Isaiah 63, 1 through 3, even though that pertains to Israel, there's a spiritual application that I believe that same light will arise in a prepared remnant in these last days. And I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that, which is God's countermove to Satan's last assault on the church in preparation for his being released against Israel and the nations.
Amen. Amen. Well, sir, we're just about out of time. Blog Talk's going to give us a 90-second countdown any moment now. But, I want to thank you for coming on, Doug. Scott, thank you for taking your time. For those of you that are listening, this has been Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. We're out of time, but we will be back next week, Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Have a good night, and God bless you. Bye-bye.